Welcome to the Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson. And in our podcast, we've often talked about the importance of setting goals and using those goals to create motivation and drive and pursuit. But what happens if we don't have a goal? What happens if we are in a situation where we don't have anything that we're working towards or can't find anything that we're really interested or passionate about? Well, that's the topic of today's podcast. But first, a few announcements. The Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, is available on Amazon Kindle. I've talked about it before, but it's a great text to help parents of children of all ages better understand their child's behavior, why their behavior may be occurring, and maybe more importantly, how to manage that behavior so that it doesn't turn into problematic behavior or increase in intensity or severity or anything like that. The Elimination Diet Manual is also available on Amazon Kindle for download, and it is a nice resource and tool for you to use to see if anything in your diet, anything that you may be consuming on a regular basis that could be influencing your mental, emotional, or physical health 38 days. And it's really all it takes to eliminate some things from your diet and do a little bit of an experiment to see what your body best manages, what type of food is best for your body. Finally, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is available on paydiallc.com. The link is in the show notes, but you can go there and see a nice outline of all the different lectures that are available. The course materials are there. And for the rest of this month, August 2016, for the rest of this month, you can get the entire course for 50% off. There's an offer code, again, in the show notes that you can use to get that discount. And it's, again, a great way to help you develop some structure and consistency in your home and implement just a few simple strategies that many, many parents of children with ADHD and children without ADHD and children with a variety of behavioral issues and sometimes even kids without any behavior issues, things that the parents can do to help just tighten things up in the home a little bit and help your child and you and everyone be a little bit happier and a little bit more stable in the home. So again, paydiallc.com. The link is in the show notes. Check it out. And again, for the rest of this month, you can get it at 50% off. And that includes everything that's already there as well as everything that we add in the future. So it's a great deal. So check it out. All right. Well, that's all of the announcements. Again, this podcast is going to focus a little bit on how to manage situations where we don't have goals. We don't know what we want to do. How do we deal with that? Well, we'll talk about that. So enjoy. Welcome to the Mental Breakdown. Now, in previous podcasts, we have talked about the fact that having a goal sort of sparks your motivation. You know, when we set a new goal, that is going to be a time where we have some natural intrinsic motivation, a drive to, yeah, that's something I really want to do. I'm going to set that as a goal, and I really want to accomplish that goal. Once we start working on that goal, as we are finding success, as we see progress being made, that motivation, that intrinsic motivation is fueled, it's increased, and it keeps us driving and pushing, even during hard times, towards that goal. But something I'm finding more and more often that is being asked of me is, what happens when we don't have a goal? What happens when we're in a situation where either ourselves as adults, our teenagers, our children, what happens when we don't have a goal? What happens if we can't identify anything that we really want to push and drive and pursue? Well, that is what we're going to talk about today, because that's a very interesting and challenging question, because for many of us, setting goals and identifying things that we really want to do is a natural process. It's just something that happens. We don't really have to put any effort into it. We see some things that we want to do. We hear about things that are interesting to us, and we have this natural drive to want to pursue it, to learn more, to try different things. But for some people, children, teenagers, college students, and adults, that's a little bit more of a difficult task. It's a little bit more difficult for them to identify what they want to do. We often ask teenagers, for example, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do after college, after high school? A lot of kids have no idea. A lot of 15, 16, 17-year-old kids have no idea what they want to do. And so we may follow up with, well, what are you really interested in? And again, we're left with just empty air. No response, nothing. Sometimes they have a response, but the response is equally uninformative. Like, I don't know, I want to be successful. Or I want to be a millionaire. Okay, well, what do you want to do to achieve that? I'm not sure. We still certainly meet people who are teenagers who, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a professional football player. Oh, well, where are you playing now? Oh, well, I don't play. Well, if you don't play, how are you going to be a professional football player, a professional baseball player, or you know? And they don't really seem to understand. They sort of have this dream, this idea that, oh wow, to be a professional football player or professional baseball player would be fantastic, but they don't really have the skills or the understanding or the knowledge of what is needed to do that. And so they make these claims, but you can tell that they're somewhat empty. So what do we do in these situations? I find myself meeting with more and more people who are in these kinds of scenarios who just don't know what they want to do. When we don't have goals, and I think that this is where we best would start. When we don't have goals, we tend to find ourselves untethered. We sort of float from here to there, and we find ourselves sort of being all over the place, without any real stability or any real direction, I guess is probably the best way to say it. You know, like the helium balloon that's just kind of floating in the wind. It's going back and forth. It's going in different directions. And the wind will take it where the wind takes it. But the balloon itself has no volition. It has no intent to go in any particular direction. People who do not have goals, people who have a really difficult time setting goals, sort of describe themselves in that similar kind of way, where they just kind of float from here and there. They do what they're told that they need to do. They take the classes, or, you know, if they're in high school or even college, they take the classes that they're supposed to take. They do what other people may tell them to do, but they don't have any real drive or any pursuit for things to themselves. And for some, this is okay. You know, some people are able to manage that okay, and they eventually will find themselves and find a direction on their own. But for others, this can lead to depression and anxiety and stress and a feeling that of incompleteness. They don't feel as though they are whole because they don't have an identity. And it's during adolescence that we really work to develop our identity. And when we don't have that, because we don't have that goal, that drive, that sense of this is what I want to be, this is what I want to do, this is who I am. When we don't have that, we tend to feel incomplete and lost, and again, can lead to depression and anxiety and stress. So it's really important that we address these issues and that we talk about, you know, how do we set goals? How do we find something that we can be interested in, that we can become passionate about, and that can really turn us on as it relates to just something that we pour ourselves into and really want to focus on. Well, what we do is depends on our age, and so as parents, we work with our kids. And so let's talk first about how do we help our children with this. You know, we tend to. I think as adults, we tend to marginalize or minimize the struggles that children have sometimes. We tend to look at their lives and say, well, why do they have to worry about it? Why do they, you know, they just go to school and they have fun and they play with their friends and, you know, that's all they do. Why do they have to stress about? Well, kids do stress about things. Kids do have a hard time with things sometimes. And part of that is also having goals and identifying themselves. Who are they? What are they? How many times have you met with a kid and say, well, you know, what do you do for fun? What do you do? And when you ask that child that, and they have no response, you can see in their face, I don't really do anything. I go to school and come home and do homework, and that's about it. So what do you go out and ride your bikes? No, when they don't really have anything like that. I mean, as I'm describing it, it should sound somewhat like depression, somewhat like that withdrawal, that absence of volition that we see in depression. And it's the same thing when we don't have goals. It sort of results in those same types of experiences. So with our kids, we really need to work to get them involved in things. Have them experience things that they've never experienced before. Have them try different sports or different activities, going to the community centers or going to the different, at their school, seeing what kinds of clubs and activities they have there. Just to get our kids involved in things. The more things that they can be involved in, and not necessarily all at the same time, because we certainly don't want them to be overscheduled. You really have to work hard to balance that. But the more variety they have in their life, the better, because it's through that variety that they find those little niches that they are that they can become passionate about, that they can really start to get an interest in. And you have no idea what that passion will be, what that interest will be. I remember when my son was very little, I don't even really know how he really got the interest, but he has always been fascinated about the brain. And now it may have been that, you know, when he was growing up, when he was very, very small, is when I was in graduate school and going through my neuropsychology training. And so I had pictures of brains and things like that all over the house from studying. And it could have been that early exposure there, but he has been fascinated with the brain and the way that the brain functions since he was 4 or 5 years old. And that interest has maintained. It's been a fascinating study of human behavior, watching him over these past 15 years develop into this person who has started out with the very strange perspective that he wanted to grow up and be what he would call a brain collector. But what he was really talking about, he wanted to be a neurologist. He wanted to be a person that looked at brains. He was into collecting when he was very small. He collected rocks and things like that. And so he just associated that with the brain as well. He wanted to be a brain collector. But as he has evolved and grown and turned into this adolescent, almost adult, you can see how his interest in that same thing has just changed and matured with him. It's been a fascinating thing. And so getting your kids involved in different things early, exposing them to different things, you have no idea what that'll turn into as they age and their experience and their understanding of those things grow. So with our kids, we really need to make sure that we expose them to different things and new things and you know, things that sometimes we don't even know about, just to let them have the experience. As teenagers, you know, if your kids are a little bit older, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to expose them to things that maybe they have never been exposed to. We're going to encourage them to try out in different clubs and try different sports and different activities at their school. You know, that's the fascinating and wonderful thing about high schools is that there are so many clubs and there's so many opportunities at most high schools to do different things and try different things that they may otherwise have never been exposed to. So trying these different things is going to be critical and really important as they, you know, continue to mature and turn into adults, and then they go to college or they enter the workforce. And, you know, we want them to experience these different things because, again, you have no idea where those interests will turn and how they will change with them over time. Now, after high school, of course, comes college. And in college, I think college is one of those places where our pool for opportunity is probably at its largest. You know, depending on the college that your child may go to, if we think that there's a lot of clubs and opportunities in high school, you haven't seen anything until you've been to college, or at least most colleges. There's so many groups, so many activities, so many things happening, so many ways to get involved that your child, if given the encouragement and certainly has the will, they can experience all kinds of things. They can experience all kinds of opportunities to try things that they've never tried before. I often encourage my college students that I'm working with to take classes and use their electives wisely. If they're going to college and they're not really sure what they want to major in, the wonderful thing, I guess, about college here in the United States is that the first 2 years, for the most part, especially the first year, year and a half or so, is all general ed. And you have to have a certain number of electives and you have to have certain types of courses. So use those required classes, those credit hours that you have to use, use those to try different things. When I was in college, I often tell the kids that I work with, you know, I went into college thinking I was an engineering guy. I was all math and science, math and hard, what we call hard science, chemistry, biology, and physics. And I was really into that. And that was my first major. And then I took a anthropology class. I think anthropology was sort of my first venture into the social sciences. And anthropology was fascinating. I mean, the differences in cultures and differences in the way that people believe different things and the way that people can see the same exact phenomenon, but explain it in a completely different way. To me, that is amazing. That is the wonderful aspect of the human being. And it was that class that really pulled me away from the hard sciences and more into the social sciences. And that's how I got into psychology. Again, I would have never, if you would have asked me in high school or even the first couple of years of college, there is absolutely no way that I would be sitting here right now talking about psychology or talking about feelings or anything like that, because that stuff didn't interest me at the time. And it wasn't until I pushed my areas of interest a little bit and tried some things that I had never tried before that I really found something that I could become passionate about. So doing the same thing with your college student, encouraging him or her to take classes that he or she may feel like they have no interest in, but take them anyways, because it's going to meet a requirement, but it's also going to get you exposed to something that you have, maybe it's going to be your future. Maybe it's going to be something that you're going to turn into a career or turn into a strength for you. So again, in college, just like in high school and in childhood, we want to push some of those boundaries just a little bit. Now, as adults, now we went from, you know, our opportunity pool kept growing and sort of maximized in college. As we finish college and we enter into what many people will call the real world, that pool dries up pretty quickly. If you think about it, as adults, really our only exposure to things outside of our home is at work and if we go to church or we have some kind of social gathering or something like that. We don't have opportunities, massive opportunities or varied opportunities for clubs and groups and different sports and different things like that. All of those opportunities dried up when we finished college or entered into the workforce. And so now we have to be a little bit more driven to find things. And a lot of adults really have a hard time with this, because what this means is now you really have to push yourself to get out there. You really have to push yourself to find these opportunities, because they're not going to show up spontaneously, certainly. And again, because we're not in an academic setting, we're not in a setting where these things are sort of presented to you, now you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to find them yourself. And for many adults, granted, that is very difficult. Depending on where you live, the opportunities, there just may not be opportunities, I guess, is one thing. But the other thing is that you may have to go different places to find them. You know, even if you live in a big city, you may have to drive to the other side of the city to find, you know, a group who likes to sit and talk about, you know, topics that you're interested in. And there are those kinds of opportunities. There are those kinds of interest groups. You just really have to work to find them. Sometimes you can find them virtually. online. You know, you can, if you're really interested in, you know, writing, then there are podcasts and there are forums and things like that you can get involved in. You can register and sign up for, where you can become part of a discussion, and, you know, those people will meet up at different times and talk about different things, and it gets you part of a community that, again, may lead to some more interest and more motivation and drive for some type of passion. I think it's really important that we push our boundaries sometimes with that. Sometimes we have to get outside of our comfort zone to be able to find those opportunities, because, again, as adults, it's very rare, if ever, that those opportunities present themselves spontaneously on their own. We have to go out and find them. And again, that's challenging, but you have to ask. Facebook, social media, all of those things are great resources to find those kinds of things. Classes that you can take, or lectures that you can attend on different topics, just to see what you could be interested in, what could turn you on a little bit to pull you in a different direction or guide you in a different way than where you are now. It takes more work as an adult, but the opportunities are still there. We just have to go find them. The common theme with all of this, though, is that you have to put yourself out there. Whether you're your child and you're trying to push your child in to try different things, you're going to put your child outside of his or her comfort zone. Same with the teenager, same with the college student, and the same with you. If you decide as an adult that you need to get out there and you need to find some of these things because you're having a hard time finding your own goals and drives. We have to push ourselves outside of our comfort zone so that we can go and find those things and be willing to experience and give those things a real opportunity, a real shot. Now, in the next podcast is going to be an extension of this one, because what happens if you're in a situation where you have a child and your child has an interest, but that interest is outside of your comfort zone? What happens, and how do you handle a situation when your child wants to do something and it makes you pretty anxious, pretty nervous, and it makes you hesitate and maybe even refuse them the opportunity to experiment or experience those kinds of opportunities? How do we handle that situation? And that's going to be in the next podcast. So until then, keep working, keep pushing, look for those goals, look for those passions for yourself. Stay happy, stay healthy, and as always, forget to be afraid.